Now, let me tell you about Ephesians. We looked at a lot of Ephesians, the town, the history, what's happened. Don't forget that Ephesus was the premier city at the time Ephesians was written. Paul spent 3 years with these people, 2.5, 3 years. He knows them intimately, and now he's writing to them. He's going to address some specific things. The main thing you're going to see in this book is in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. 11 times in the few passages we're going to look at this morning. Many times in the book, but in Christ is important. I reminded you a couple weeks ago that think of a diving bell or a submarine in the ocean. In that submarine, you are protected, you are provided. Everything you need for life and functionality is in that submarine. You're in the deep ocean looking at the Marianas Trench, and the pressure there will crush you, it will kill you. There's no light, there's no life, nothing, but you're in that submarine. And in there, you can do whatever it is that you're called to do. Your commander sent you there to do. You're in Christ. You have everything you need for life and doing God's stuff in Christ. Not in Christ, you won't last a second down there. What kills you down there is the lack of oxygen, the lack of sunlight and all that, but the pressure. I had a friend that was a submariner, but he took a submarine. They went down and they came back, and he gave me, he had a styrofoam cup from Big Gulp, and he put it in the rack outside in the boat. There's some racks on there, and he stuffed it in there. I saw him. I said, what happened to that styrofoam cup? Because all that pressure, you know, he goes, oh, here. That styrofoam cup under that pressure, it was a big 34-ounce, whatever, 42-ounce cup. It was a big one, and it had become a thimble, and it was hard like a rock. It just, because that's it. Now, I say that to think the pressure, that's what will crush you. That's life. The pressure will crush you. It will diminish you. It will smash you. It will knock the air out of you. But in Christ, that doesn't happen. In Christ, you're protected. In Christ, you're functional. But I thought that was funny that I had that cup. He gave it to me. I had it for a long time, and I lost it. But it was the coolest thing to be able to pull out and go, look at this. That's a Big Gulp. Yeah. You're in Christ. In Christ. And if you're not, you need to be. In Christ is the only place of protection, the only place of functionality, the only place you're going to get anything done, the only place it's for you. And that's the place he wants us. Now, I thought what we could do is just read through this real quick. Have you read through it yet, Ephesians? You've been reading through Ephesians? You've been listening and reading? Good. We're just going to look at 14 verses, and I'm just going to read them straight up, okay? You could do this at home, but we're going to do it together. So here we go. Starting at verse 3. This is NIV, guys. You can read it in any version. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Are you picking up on any of these gems? We're just blasting through here. He's saying something. To the praise of his glory, his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, there you go again. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, his grace he lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding. He didn't do it by accident. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. So he's providing for us. This is, we're in the bell, we're in the submarine. And what's he given to us? Everything we need, even unity. And he's taken care of us in heaven and on earth. I mean, there's so much here. He made known to us in him, there it is again, circle, underline, We were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. That in Christ isn't the same as the other in Christ. This is putting our hope in Christ. But watch the other ones. And you also were included in Christ. There it is. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. That was it. We just read it. That was easy. 6 points to be made there. We have been adopted. Man, that's a big deal. We have a family. We are known. We are accepted. We have been adopted as sons. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Adam wasn't adopted. Adam didn't have that relationship. Adam didn't have it as good as we do. It's very interesting. He did walk in the cool evening with the Lord, but we are the family of God. We have been adopted. We have been brought in. There is a legal thing being said there that we'll discuss in a bit. These people in that Roman Empire, they knew what that meant. If you were adopted by a Roman citizen, you had all the rights of a Roman citizen. You had all the rights of inheritance. Everything that that Roman person who adopted you had, you have. There's no difference between you and a blood son, except a blood son can be kicked out of the family. You can't. And they knew that. An adoption was a seal. It was a forever. You can't unadopt. You can unson your kid. You can disown him. You can't with an adoption. That's powerful stuff, guys. You're adopted. And we always think of adoption as, well, you know, last resort. No way. First resort. It was preferred. Adopted people had more rights than non-adopted people. It's powerful stuff. That's why God's using this terminology. Also, redemption through His blood. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Redemption. You've been redeemed through His blood. This is the new covenant. In my blood, He says. When we take communion and we say that, this is the new covenant in my blood, you got to get that for a second. That's redemption, called out, set apart, freed up, redeemed. You guys who remember green stamps, remember those? Look at them, sticking them in that book until your tongue was raw. Green stamps, we would get green stamps when we went shopping, or blue stamps. Blue, there were two kinds. You could take those books full of stamps and you could go redeem them. You could turn them in for something. To be redeemed is to be bought out, to be purchased out. If you were a slave on the chopping block and they were getting ready to either sell you or kill you or whatever, somebody could come and redeem you out of that and set you free. We've been redeemed and set free. That's a powerful thing, but it's only by His blood, the blood of Christ, that removes the shackles. Unity, heaven and earth, in heaven and earth. This is powerful stuff. He made known to us the mystery of His will to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth. The big thing He's dealing with here is Jew, Gentile. Those guys, us guys. There were the haves and the have-nots. And He said, no more of that. You all are haves. That's the predestination. That's the chosen. That's the stuff He planned before the foundation of time. It was all Jew. And then He goes, Gentile. And the Jews were ticked. You brought a Gentile into this? You brought a what? What are you saying? I predestined that. It was my plan from the beginning. You're not the only ones. Understand, I love all of my creation. And this is not a new thought for Him. It was pre-planned. It was something He thought of. And He prepared for, and He made happen. A lot of people will split their churches right in half over this thought of predestination. They get it wrong. And He's talking about Jews versus Gentiles. He's talking about now there's this new thing, which in Ephesians 3, you're going to see. There's this new thing that shows the manifold wisdom of God, this incredible thing. It shows how smart God is, and they draw back their curtain because want to see how smart God is? He throws back the veil, and everyone, it says, in heaven and earth, all of the heavenly hosts go, they look in amazement, and He shows them, guess what it is? You, the church, not Jew, not Gentile, One, unity in heaven and on earth, and they're all watching it. This is it. We're not just anybody. This is something so miraculous, so unheard of, so unthought of, that people were like, what? He said, I planned this before the beginning of time. This isn't new. I didn't just make this up. I saw what was going to happen with you, mankind, and I prepared for it. And here it is. It's called the church. Man, you got to know who we are. Chosen. This is an amazing thing. You are chosen. So remember, these are the 6 points you can get out of just chapter 1 of Ephesians. And we're only talking about 14 verses here. There's so much more. In him, there it is, underlined circle, we were also chosen in order that we might be for the praise of his glory. Why did he do this? Why did he choose us? Why did he? And us is Gentiles he's talking about. He chose us. He predestined. He planned for this. Why? Makes him look cool. It says in Ephesians, the manifold wisdom of God was seen by the universe, by the principalities, the powers. It was seen. Why? How was the manifold wisdom of God seen? You. You were chosen. Called out. You're not an afterthought. You were chosen. He planned this. It's permanent. Let me show you. One thing I want you to know, you are included. This is a fabulous verse. You also were included when you heard the message of truth. You were included. He's talking to Gentiles. He's talking to you and me. We're all Gentiles. In Christ, we're not. We're one. In Christ, we're the church. Jew, Gentile, church. This new creation. And he says, you also were included. When? When did you get included? When did you get chosen? When you heard the message? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you heard the message and you believed, you were chosen. Wait. It says I was chosen before the foundation of time. Yeah, right. And that happened right when you believed. What? I'm not making this up. God made it up. Take it up with him. Isn't it weird? That's the same thing as you won't see until you believe. That's what he's saying. It's not real till you believe. And when you believe, it becomes real. Anybody ever studied quantum physics? Or at least brushed against it? You know the wave nature of light, the particle nature of light? Do you know the weird thing about many of these quantum particles is if you observe them, they're not there. They're only there when you can't see them. It's the weirdest thing. Some of them, they're only there if you see them. Your seeing them makes them manifest. If you don't see them, they don't exist. What? That's God. Now people say, it goes against science. No, science has just proven that that's possible, that you can have dual nature. You take a look at light, you shine light through slits, you send those electron particles through slits, the double split experiment, it's a famous experiment. And what happens is it shows up as a particle if you look at it one way, shows up as a wave if you look at it another way. Well, which is it, a wave or a particle? Yes. Well, what is he? Is he God or is he man? Yes. The dual nature of Jesus Christ. And what are you? Are you man or are you divine? Yes. Right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, and you are a partaker of the divine nature. And forever we've said, that's Christianity is so stupid. It's so illogical. Yeah. Well, now we know quantum physics. And quantum physics has the same principles happening. So you can look to nature itself. You can look to science itself and go, yes, these things are possible. Two absolutely mutually exclusive truths existing side by side. That's called an antinomy. It's railroad tracks. They don't converge or the train will crash. They don't diverge or the train will crash. They exist side by side in a parallel universe. And that's you. You are weird. If you're in Christ, you break all the rules. You're human and you're not. You have unbelievable power and authority and you're just a man, a woman, you're just a human. Yeah. You got to get your head around this stuff. This is deep, deep stuff. And yet we're just cruising through the first 14 verses here. And this is so rich and so deep. And I'm just giving you 6 principles that are obvious. There's so much more. Oh, here's the deal. we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. This is probably my favorite principle. It's because when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, until the redemption of those who are God's possession. You're sealed. You ain't going to lose it. You're not going to change it. When you're in Christ, he seals it. It's like the people in the ark. God put them in there, and he sealed it. They couldn't get out. They couldn't lose it. They went through the storm, the flood, and everything. They were God's. Sealed. He has sealed you. And the mark of that seal is the Holy Spirit in you. You're his. I mean, that's an amazing thing. When you believed, you were marked in him with that seal, the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit. If you have not the Spirit, you have not the Lord. If you have Christ, you have the Spirit. If you have not Christ, you have not the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, brothers and sisters, you're remarkable. You can overcome any adversity. You can overcome anything that the world slams in your face, and you can love in the midst of unlove. You can love in the midst of hatred. You could love in the midst of division. You can love in the midst of persecution. You can love in the midst of prejudice. You can receive and embrace in the midst of everything that's opposite, because you're in Christ. You're not in this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. You got to get this. That's why when you go out those doors, I say go play, because the world needs you. Nobody knows this stuff. They are all thinking it's about their bank account, their job, their boss, their neighbor, whatever. It's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ. We just happen to have to put up with this other stuff while we're going around saving souls. We're here to shine the light and the love of Jesus Christ. Go do it. And how do you do it? You got the Holy Spirit. Now, some people speak in tongues when they get the Holy Spirit. That's pretty fun. Imagine Shawnee says, oh, I want to receive Jesus. She receives Christ, and all of a sudden she says, whatever. I'm like, holy cow, what happened? Well, that's pretty clear that something's happening. That's kind of neat. Those kind of signs and wonders, that's kind of neat. If that doesn't happen, you know, did something happen or did something not happen? Well, he says, yes, something happened, whether you see it or not, whether you speak in tongues or not. A lot of people say if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's not true. That nowhere in Scripture is that true. But if you have Christ, you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, you can speak in tongues. What? Well, why would I want to? I don't know. Prayer language? Intimacy with God? I don't know. People speak in tongues. And it's remarkable. And sometimes God uses it to speak a message. And he does it through tongues and interpretation of tongues. But I'm saying when those things happen, you go, what is that? God's people are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's real, and he breaks through time and space, and he does wonderful, amazing things. If you don't speak in tongues, if you're not part of the charismatic movement or any of that kind of stuff, it doesn't matter. You still have the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter. Don't let anybody tell you if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Spirit. No. But if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. Everybody who has Christ has the Spirit. You were sealed. Does that make sense? Don't make a mistake there. We can go on and take a look. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, and go on through that. And he talks about the faithful in Christ. I'm going to show you two things. There's the six key points. You're predestined to adoption. You're redeemed through the blood. You're part of the unity of all things in heaven and on earth. You're chosen for his glory. You're included in the family of God when you heard the message. That's when it happened. Bam. You don't see and believe. You believe and see. And you're marked and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, and that's eternal. Nobody can remove that. That's eternal. So don't let people tell you can lose your salvation. If you're saved, you can't lose it. You didn't get it. He gave it to you. He sealed you. It's locked in. That's who you are. That's the six key points that you'll get out of Ephesians 1:1-14. Really, 3-14. And we're going to take and dissect those verses. So let me show you what it looks like. I want you to try this one day. In him, this is verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. that he lavished on us. What you see there is a structure. That's called a grammatical layout. You take that in him, that's the big phrase, in him, everything else in that verse or that thought is under the in him. Now watch, in him we have redemption through his blood. It's the forgiveness of sins. What? Look how that steps down. In him we have, okay, what do we have? We have redemption. And if I went straight through and did what he's saying, it's in him we have redemption in accordance with the riches of his grace. We have redemption. I'm breaking this down in a way that helps you to see the in him we have redemption. That's the thought there. The rest of it is just fleshing it out and explanatory. How do we have redemption? Well, through his blood, it's the forgiveness of sins. And it's in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Well, I get it. The redemption is in accordance with that he lavished on us. So he lavished grace on us. But the thought is in him we have redemption. Are you seeing the breakdown? This, if you do this on paper, by the time you're done with just these 14 verses, you're going to know this passage and you're going to see how everything relates to each other. So let's continue the grammatical diagram. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us. So with all wisdom and understanding, want to know what that is and why he used that. But in that, because he knew, he did this on purpose, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. All those are separate thoughts, but really relating all the way back up to in him we have redemption. This is all related. And as you continue to follow it through, watch what happens here. Which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. What does that mean, when the times reach their fulfillment? God knew what he was going to do. He pre-planned this. He had it all. But he's going to do it when the times reach their fulfillment, which is right now. This is the times. And he's revealing this stuff now. And he's doing this salvation stuff. Now watch. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. To bring unity. Unity to what? All things. You see how he's defining to bring unity? All things. Where? In heaven and on earth. Again, we're stepping down. This is a grammatical diagram. Under Christ. Really, to bring unity. That's the thought. That's the thought. Redemption, to bring unity. That's what Ephesians is about. Unity, right? In Christ. Unity. Not Jew and Gentile. Unity. The church. This is one thought. As a matter of fact, this entire chapter is one sentence. There's no periods in this, in the original. It's just Paul going off. He's just telling you, oh, this is so amazing. And he's probably dictating. And his scribe is probably going, are you going to take a breath? Where do I put the period? What, Paul, you, Paul, it's, Paul, what are you doing? And Paul's like, ah, God is wonderful. He's brought unity. He's so amazing. And to his glory, amen. And the scribe's like, huh. Did you forget the periods? Did you forget the? No, it's all one glorious thought. God rocks. We're all in Christ, unified. It's all one thing. It's all one thought. That whole passage is one thought. And from there, he expands. Then you get chapter 2. Then you get chapter 3. But it's one thought. Ephesians, you think of one thing in Ephesians, in Christ. Just think of that. What happened in Christ? Redemption, sealed, called out, transformed, unified. All of that happened. Where? In Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's so much fun. So, smile. You're in Christ. You're in good hands, just like with Allstate. That's who you are. We'll break this down using this grammatical layout so you can figure out how to do it yourself. It's really simple. And this grammatical layout isn't as clear as it should be because you can't do it on this little screen. But on a piece of paper, let me show you. This is my grammatical layout, just of 14 verses. And you can see, if I were to put it out, it's all stair-steppy, right? Because the things on the border are the main thought, and the stair-steppies are the clarification of the thought. So you can see the whole thing, how it lays out. And what I did is I took just the main thoughts and I wrote one sentence. There is one sentence that comes out of this. And that's how I tend to do my Bible study is I'll do a grammatical layout and then I'll see what it is that he said. Try to do this. Try to look at your Bible and break it down into main thoughts, sub-thoughts to bring unity. Who? To all things where in heaven and on earth under Christ. It's really to bring unity, which he purposed to bring unity in him in order that we who were the first in Christ, blah, 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 we win. And it, you see what I'm saying? See how that fits? Your Bible does this. Your Bible does this. Your Bible, and you can study your Bible and get such clarity with that simple tool of a grammatical layout. Just grab a passage and map it and do the stair-steppy thing. This thought, these things modify that thought, so they go under it. These things modify that thought, so it goes under that. And you'll see the stair-steppy as each thing modifies what's above it. Then you'll just take underline just the first one and the next first one and the next first one. It's one sentence. That's the whole theme. That's the point. Now go back and look at those little stair-steppies and go, what's he modifying? Why is he saying that? Is that important? Why did he say it that way? And you go, oh my goodness. This guy's just freewheeling, and it's dynamic, life-changing, and it says little things, those little things. If those little things weren't there, would it change the sentence? No, I can give you the sentence. I can take all the little things out. But if it makes sense without those, then why'd he put them there? Because they're the most important things. The little things that are easily overlooked and easily passed up are the most important things. It's the little tiny things that you're going to miss. You'll see the big sentence, oh yeah, we're in Christ, everything's good. Now look carefully. And that's where the deep Bible study comes. And I'm not into Greek. I'm not into culture. I'm not into anything. I'm just reading my Bible. Any version, just pick it up and just read it that way with a questioning mind. Why, Lord? Why are you saying it that way? What did you mean? And you will have one of the richest Bible times you've ever had. Just asking the question, why did you say it that way? And what's the main thought? What's the littler thoughts? And why that very last stair-steppy, why is that there? I mean, if all this defines that and that, why is that last thing? And the last thing in this stair-steppy is in Christ. Isn't that funny? Starts with it, ends with it. In Christ, that's the theme. You're in Christ. You're protected. You're empowered. You have everything you need for life and godliness through Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, with that, guess what? Guess what? We get to go play. In Christ, like I said, you're in Christ. You're in good hands. Now, go play. I like that little picture. Go play. You got your Father in heaven's holding your hand, and you're just a kid walking along with him, and this is life. Nothing to worry about, nothing to fret. No matter how far behind you think you are, Dave always says to me, you're right on time. Because I think I'm way behind on all the projects I've half started and want to finish, you know. And Dave keeps reminding me, you're right on time. God knows what he's doing. And I feel, this picture moves me. That's me and God. He's got me. And I can just hang on. And I'm okay, no matter how weird it gets. He's got my hand. It's so easy for me to think I'm all alone and I got to do life and it's hard. And God says, no. I got you. Just, I got you. Now go play. It's not that hard. It's not that important. Don't get your panties in a bunch over nothing. Come on, man. Let's go play. And he's got me. We're going for a walk. It's that simple. You're not doing anything that's that important. In Christ, it's very important, but don't fret, don't worry, don't flip out. Enjoy it. Go play. Your daddy's got you. Amen? Oh, I love that. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you that you are so good, that you are so rich. Thank you, Lord, that you let the body speak to me today. That was fun. That we can minister to each other, that we're a part of you. And a part of each other. And it's not about religion. It's about fun. It's about relationship. It's about going deeper, knowing each other and being okay with it. Okay with it. You're good and you're awesome. And I thank you, Lord. And I pray as we all leave this building, that we don't leave this reality, the reality that we're in Christ, and wherever we go, it's holy ground, and you are there ministering to us and through us and to others. Oh God, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go play.